Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Ryan Snyder in a few moments from Blue White Illustrated. First, our play-by-play call of the day. The suit picked Northern Illinois. UAB won.
First and 10 at the 46. Johnson wants to throw again. Throws far side, wide open at the 20, the 10, and high stepping into the end zone for the touchdown. Xavier Ubosi has done it again.
He sure has. He ruined the Suits' holiday season. Not all of us wake up with only one goal. I'm going to win them all.
seven catches, 227 yards, and three touchdowns for Ubosi last night. Career highs in the Boca Raton Bowl.
Tonight is going to be the Frisco Bowl, San Diego State and Ohio University.
So I'm the lone wolf that chose Ohio.
Rocky Long, outstanding coach, San Diego State. Frank Solich, outstanding coach, Ohio University. Quick email, and then we will get to Ryan Snyder. Joe from Northumberland, on the road. Always enjoy the show. Caught three of them last week. Learned a lot about facilities I had not considered. About how much facilities alumni provide atmosphere that sometimes helps to influence recruits. And he talked a lot about that part. Had I not heard the show, I probably would not have considered facilities into the question about how to become elite. Thanks for the insight. Joe, we appreciate your kind words very much. Now we get to the fun part. Okay. By the way, if your brother is a free agent, make every attempt to keep him. After all, he is the most interesting man in Connecticut. Now I'm going to head to Sunbury Motors Company to see Tom about a car, which I will insure at Purdy Insurance, and then off to Brewer's Outlet for peanuts to eat while I watch Friday Night Wrestling from Rec Hall. Big fan Joe on the road. Joe, we love you. We love you, Joe.
Big
that
fan.
Was awesome.
Big fan.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. You know how many people who are sending emails now where they end up? They end the email by saying, the pickle bar is second to none. I get a kick out of that.
Love the barrels, love the dills.
Yeah, I mean, I get a kick out of that.
It's
working. That just means they're listening, and they're listening. You know, that means they're having fun. Well, I know they're going to sit back and enjoy what they're about to hear, because we're going to bring in Ryan Snyder from Bluette Illustrated Rivals.com. I know he is crunched for time. Ryan, thanks so much for giving us your time today.
It never fails, Steve. Every time I plan a radio show, something happens right when I'm starting that radio show, and now Penn State has officially announced Noah King, who is the big-time commitment they got today. Of course, I'm supposed to be doing 20 different things when that happens, but you know what, Steve? It's you, my friend. You have my attention. Go ahead.
Well, let's get to Noah King, because you've been working tirelessly on this. I said in terms of the announcement part, you know, there are a lot of really good players in this class, a Brandon Smith and so forth. But he's the one that declared today, so I've kind of likened him to the, okay, everyone's on pins and needles like Micah Parsons last year, and it turns out he's the guy this year.
Yeah. Love this kid, man. I don't care. I'm not talking about what he does on the field. I'm talking about him as a person. I've gotten to know his family really well for a long time now, and this is a theme for a lot of the guys in the class. Make no mistake, we can say that about a lot of pretty much everyone in this class. This is something James Franklin really preaches, and they hold true. But anyway, you know, off the field, you know, in the community, that, you know, he really does stand for all the right things, and I think Penn State fans are going to love to see that. You know, at the same time, if I can relate or compare him to anyone, I've seen a lot of people compare him to is it Derrion Henry or I know Henry the running back for Alabama.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, he's bigger a little bit. you know, but he blocks well. He does a lot of behind the scenes things. You know, it's not all about just give me the rock and let me make the plays. You know, he does a lot of the little things right, and I think that's what Sider and Franklin and everybody is going to come to love about him. But you know, don't get me wrong, he can use his hands and in the receiving game, and you know, he's been playing now at IMG Academy, which, you know, anyone that follows recruiting knows they play the best of the best. And you know, his, put it this way, his teammate Trey Sanders, who just committed to Alabama, is, you know, ranked higher than him, but Noah actually led the team in yards and carries and whatnot. So I think that really speaks for everything else he does behind the scenes, that, you know, despite the fact that IMG has a superstar right there next to him, you know, they're relying on Noah to you know, carry the rock more and play the majority of the time.
But they also have Devin Ford. And you look at a guy like that who already, to me, has the makings, you know, when I've seen him, because obviously I see these guys. Okay.
Yeah.
I've got to sit there and not talk. I said earlier, this is a fun day for me. I actually get to talk about the guys. Okay. Instead of like beating around the bush to get there. But he's got the makings of a Big Ten body already himself.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And he, I mean, I don't ever want to compare anybody to Saquon Barkley, and I will not make that comparison here. But just when it comes to explosiveness and, you know, can make plays out of nothing, and Devin is that guy. I think Noah could be. I think Devin. I don't want to say that Noah's more of a in the tackles guy, because I think Devin can run between the tackles just as well as anybody else. But you know, put it this way, I see Devin. Devin Ford making some awesome plays on that wheel route that Saquon Barkley, made famous for fans. But don't get me wrong, I think Noah Kane can do it too. So there's right. A lot of comparisons there.
Two quests.
Okay. And Michael Johnson Jr. Michael Johnson Jr. is the higher ranked of the two, but I mean, don't get me wrong, they're both, I believe, top 12 in the dual threat.
At the end of the football banquet, I mean, James leaned over to me before, you know, we were going to wrap up, and you know, I said, hey, I'm moving, and he goes, oh, you are. He said, I've got to be in Oregon tonight with Ricky.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I knew what he was doing. He was going to go out and see Michael Johnson. Well, it paid off, and then there's Roberson as well. They got two quarterbacks there.
Yeah, and I think it was a good thing that James went out there and waited for Michael, because some schools did come after him late. Now, you know, I think Michael was always pretty solid, all things considered, but you know, there was, put it this way, Ohio State lost the quarterback today. I believe they were maybe one of the schools. Also, Florida State with Sam Howell. Rumor is they were one of the schools. I'm not going to go into all the details because I don't really know him specifically, but there was some talk that some schools came after Michael. But again, he is signed. He is official. You know, Michael, I think Michael had over 1,000 yards rushing this year and 1,000 yards passing, and he's done that now for a few years. A four-year starter, led his team to the state championship this year. They came up a little bit short, but Johnson actually led them to a pretty nice comeback, too. They were down 2 or 3 touchdowns. Roberson is a little more, has, I think, a little bit of a stronger arm. I've seen take one a little bit more just because he lives on the East Coast. And obviously, I don't get to see Michael that much. But I like his arm a lot. That's one thing that stands out to me. But don't get me wrong, he can make plays with his feet, too. So, I mean, both played in very competitive divisions, too. I think that's important to note. They're playing against great competition. Michael, I believe, was 6A for Oregon, which is, you know, the highest there. And you know, Taquan played against great competition too in the New Jersey private league.
Now here's the next part, and it's the part I look at, because my assumption is the way this staff operates, that they're going after high level players. Right, and you just look at who Penn State's beating out to get, or who Penn State's barely losing out to if they don't get somebody. So they're going after the cream of the crop. I start looking at 2 years, maybe 3 years down the line, what's the positional balance makeup of the team? What do you think about that with this particular class and how they're going to fit in terms of positional balance 2 and 3 years down the road?
Yeah, it works out pretty well. I think that they would have liked to have had maybe another wide receiver or two. But I think that they also have some really good players in 2020. Of course, everybody knows Julian Fleming, Raheem Jarrett, that they can make up for those numbers there. I think that they still need to add some defensive tackle. That's a priority spot. You know, right now they have two. They signed Adisa Isaac today. He committed 2 days ago and, you know, officially signed today. But that was a big addition at defensive end. I think they still want to add 2 or 3 more defensive linemen, and and that'll work out pretty well. I think what'll be curious, especially because they took two quarterbacks this year, is do they take a quarterback in 2020, especially when you consider that 2021 has Kyle McCord out of Philadelphia and Caleb Williams out to Washington, D.C. Both are going to be really highly touted. You know, they already are highly touted, but highly recruited prospects. Penn State's already offered both of them. You know, James Franklin always stresses every year that he wants to take a quarterback, and I will still lean towards them doing that, but they just haven't offered too many guys that, you know, I realistically say, okay, I could see this guy ending up at Penn State, you know, as far as quarterbacks in 2020. So that'll be interesting, but, you know, every recruiting class, Penn State tries to do everything it can to get the best balance possible for its rosters, and that's what they've, for the most part, accomplished here.
When James Franklin first came here, he talked about wanting to always get a quarterback in a class and having five in the room, but that Joe Moorhead, when he was here, preferred four in the room. So next year they're going to have five in the room. So is that the shift back in philosophy to the original James Franklin philosophy of making sure you have one each class?
I think that's part of it. I also just think that they were in a great position with two awesome players, you know, and
right.
You know, James will be the first to tell you that he wants to balance out numbers and keep things as even as possible. But, you know, at the same time, you know, Taquan, he was the second player to commit in the class. And, you know, they were also still in the mix with Michael Johnson, who, you know, again, is one of the top five, six or so dual threat quarterbacks in the country. You know, whenever you get that far in and then he takes an official visit in June, loves it, you know, is has Penn State right there at one or two. You know, when you get into the summer and you're still in that position with a very highly regarded player, especially at the quarterback position, you got to just make sure you do everything again you can to get that talent. And I think that was part of the reason with two quarterbacks.
Is how they've used Tommy Stevens the last 2 years also a selling point when you've got two quarterbacks you're looking at that are really good athletes?
Yeah, it's definitely something they have talked about. I think at the same time, I don't know. Like, I'd be surprised personally if Lyon is still always around for five, six,
right.
7 years from now. I think it's possible that they will use it at times, but you know, with Tommy, it's just kind of a unique situation. Don't get me wrong; they have absolutely talked about that, and I think the players have noticed it and respect it. But I don't think that's something that they are preaching constantly to these two guys.
Right. No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know, it's one of those, hey, look, we can make this work kind of deal.
Yeah.
Of the top 16 teams in the Rivals recruiting rankings, Penn State has the fewest commitments because of what availability happened to be. What should it tell us that they're probably a top 10 recruiting class despite having the fewest commitments of anybody in the top 16?
Yeah. It says a lot. You know, they bounced up to number 10 today, following Kane with 18 commitments. I think it really sets them up well. I think it's going to be tough to crack the top five, but six, seven, eight, that seems realistic to me, especially when you look at some of the players that are still out there. You know, they're still in the mix with multiple four-star guys, which will really boost up those numbers. What says it all to me is just when you look at the average star ranking, 3.88, which just means pretty much everybody in this class is a four-star. I mean, all but three of them are, which really speaks highly of the class. One thing I will also say is, you know, just a couple weeks ago, Penn State had, I think it was six three-stars in this class. Keaton Ellis, Lance Dixon, and junior college prospect Anthony Wigan all received bumps to four-star prospects. So I think that really speaks to the staff's ability to find guys that, you know, may not be ranked as highly as everyone else, and guys that they know, hey, give them another year or two, let them produce, let them do their thing, and we know they're going to be ready when they get here. And sure enough, after great senior seasons, we saw three guys move up. So, but again, with a 3.8 rating, I mean, just one thing I got to add, Georgia has a 4.05. Alabama has a 3.92. Every other school is below Penn State. So it just speaks to they are recruiting on a truly elite level.
Right, exactly. I mean, everybody else is, I mean, Penn State's third in the average star ranking.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not done. There's the late signing period. As Tom Luganville pointed out, 72% signed in the early signing period last year. He thinks 80 to 85% signed today for this particular year. But there's still a late signing period. What are you starting to zero in on in the late signing period for Penn State?
Yeah, and one thing real quick I got to add to that is I think – that 80 to 85% number you're talking about. I think that's why we're going to see this early signing period get moved up to the summer eventually, because that'll make it a true early signing period. But that's still a couple years down the road.
Well, you know how I feel about it, because I think that I said that the entire time, because it's a basketball.
Same thing, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about that a few times now. But like I mentioned earlier, defensive tackle, so maybe another DN too, but defensive line overall is without a doubt the key spot. Devon Ellis is a top four-star prospect out of Baltimore. I think Penn State's the favorite with him. Smith Vilbert is a rising prospect out of New Jersey. Just a couple months ago, he didn't have many offers. You know, now he's taking visits to Florida and Oregon, and you know, just took his official visit to Penn State not that long ago. I think the Lions are in a good spot with him. They can add those two, plus Jared Hunt, who is a defensive tackle out of New York. I've been projecting Hunt to end up at Penn State for months now, and it keeps dragging on and dragging on. Sometimes that feels like a negative thing, but at the same time, it should be noted that Alabama, Michigan, a couple other schools have offered in recent months, and that also speaks to what we were just talking about, is this staff finds talent that isn't as widely known months before everybody else jumps on board. But anyways, if they can just add at least two, or I think the goal is to add all three, that'll really help with the defensive line class. You know, I think people have always said, oh, where's the defensive tackles? Where's the elite D tackle? You know, Penn State signed four elite defensive tackles last year, or defensive linemen, excuse me, all of which were four-star prospects. Here, they're in another position again to add, you know, a few more four-stars with one or two three-stars. They can get those guys in. I think the staff will be really happy. Maybe add another receiver, one or two offensive linemen, and possibly a safety, but I think that's probably doubtful. But make no mistake, mainly about the defensive line. Sprinkle in a few guys at offensive line, and they should be pretty happy.
I know you have a lot of work to do. We appreciate the fact that you gave us time today, and thanks for all the valuable information.
No problem, guys. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, Rivals.com. Next half hour, Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, and the Patriot News as we continue on early signing day 2018 for the 2019 class on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The 2018 season isn't over yet.
McSorley back, sets, throws in the end zone, got him, touchdown, Penn State, DeAndre Tompkins, and the Nittany Lions respond.
It's the Citrus Bowl, Penn State versus Kentucky. Tune in New Year's Day on the Penn State Sports Network.
Steve Jones, join Jack Hamm and me for the Citrus Bowl, airtime 11:30 on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
WKOK, we are Penn State.
So National Signing Day, Penn State looks like they have a top 10 class. Maybe not top 5, it doesn't matter. I think now it comes down to what part that I think we're... And look, I get to watch this all the time. I mean, I get to watch... a guy that was a master of player development. And I'm seeing a lot of the same traits and how they develop talent here as I saw then. But, I mean, I get to see it every day. They are really, really good here at player development. I mean, that 2016 season was that they won the Big Ten Championship with, that was not loaded with five-star guys. I mean, you know, they had to develop them. I mean, they've taken, through his personal hard work, and the work of the people he's been with, but Trace McSorley, you know, has developed into a 3-year starter here. is about to cap his career off in just a couple of weeks in the aforementioned Citrus Bowl you heard in the commercial there. And I think that the player development part is a big plus for Penn State. And what really helps them is that, you know, you can talk about player development taking two stars and three stars and you coach them up and so forth, but it's got to be a different feel when you're taking fours and fives because their level is going to be higher in terms of a starting point for the most part. Not always, but for the most part. And you add that with people who do a very good job with player development, I think it makes a big difference. A big difference. And we mentioned earlier about Jordan Jones of Kentucky being out of the Citrus Bowl. Penn State is done, by the way, with its state college practices. They did their last one yesterday in state college. Then they'll get a little bit of break this weekend. They get to go home, enjoy their families, be around them, and then reconvene early next week in Orlando. Has the suit said yet whether he's going to the game or not?
Has not shared that with me, so if he is, it's a definite surprise. Hasn't hinted he's going.
You know James doesn't like surprises, right?
Right.
Just thought I'd mention that.
Right.
Neither do Jack or I. I'm here. Oh, no. Can we go do the Outback Bowl? Switch off with Dolphin. Tomorrow on the show, Eli Gold, the play-by-play voice of Alabama football. Seemed to be the right fit considering we'll be in Tuscaloosa tomorrow.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The next signing day for college football will be the first Wednesday in February, as it traditionally is, but Penn State with 18 signing on the dotted line today for the early signing period. And I've mentioned this before, I still believe that it should be explored, and I don't have the answer to this, but it should be explored having this early signing day in August, like college basketball as theirs before the season as well. But this has been a big day, huge day. Now, the problem with having it in August is how much of free time are you taking away from coaches and their families? That's the part that becomes the rub. But on this particular day, 18 have signed with Penn State on the dotted line. They're not done yet. There'll be more in the late signing period. And how many spots are available will be determined by a couple of thoughts. One of them being how many players might declare for the NFL draft and follow through on it. Could be none, could be a couple, we'll see. And those decisions will be coming out in 2 weeks. And then that opens the door as to how many spaces you have available on your staff. All right. How many spots you have available in your recruiting class, I mean. So that's one factor that comes up on the second one. So with that, we bring in Greg Pickle on the road with Patriot News and PennLive.com. Greg, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Good to be on with you on such a for Penn State.
It is a busy day, and it's a busy day for you as well. The way it played out, there obviously were a lot of expected parts. How do you feel in the end this position, Penn State?
Yeah, you know, James Franklin likes to joke from time to time that when he got to Penn State, he had more hair than he does now. But there was no reason for worrying and losing hair this time around. This was about as painless an early signing day as you could get. They land Noah Kane, the four-star running back from Florida by way of Texas and Louisiana, over Auburn, LSU, Tennessee, Texas, and a handful of others. So, I mean, they get him. They secure John Dunmore, the four-star Florida receiver. And the rest of the class signs as expected. So they come out of the day with 18 signees. They know what they need to attack moving forward now as we move toward, of course, the Citrus Bowl during the recruiting dead period. And then when they come out of that, and the mid-January evaluation period starts up again, they know exactly what they need to do and what holes they need to fill before that push to the second signing day on the first Wednesday in February. So I have to think that, you know, there were probably some heart-shaking moments for schools around the country today and reason for concern and worry and everything else. But Penn State, fortunate this year to not have to deal with that. Things went pretty much exactly as you'd script them to.
I think that some people had worried about, they had worried about John Dunmore because of the late push by Miami, and they obviously had wondered what was going to happen with Noah Kane, yet they both fell into place, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Dunmore was, you know, obviously when you're a Florida recruit and, you know, Florida State, Miami, I'm sure at one point Florida was probably in the mix, you know, when they're all pressuring you late to stay home, asking you why you want to go play in the Big Ten in the snow when you can play down here in the warmth in the SEC, close to home, close to your family and friends. You know, it can be a compelling pitch, but think back to when Penn State hired Jawan Sider, and Jawan Sider was not the only reason that John Dunmore landed at Penn State, but he was a huge part of it. James Franklin said, well, yeah, you know, you don't hire Jawan Sider to not be aggressive in the state of Florida when it comes to recruiting, and Dunmore's the perfect guy you go in and steal away from the sunshine, state powers, and, you know, obviously infuse some more speed into your program, some more talent at the wide receiver position, and, you know, set a base in that area that, hey, look, Penn State's an option for guys from that area and from in Florida and in the South in the future, and here's a great example in John Dunmore. They, of course, got some other ones on the roster, Imani Oriwariye and a few others, but, yeah, at this point in time, you know, Dunmore, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered. There's no need to worry about that anymore. And then with Noah Kane, you know, you started reading the tea leaves. The Athletic had a great piece talking to a number of players at IMG Academy, and you could start to get the feel after reading Kane's comments in that story that Penn State was probably going to be the one that won out. He talked a little bit about family in that piece. He talked a little bit about, you know, his choice being the school that stuck with him and was real and honest and transparent with him from the start. And I think Noah Kane said during the ESPN2 broadcast today that James Franklin and Jawan Sider were transparent with him throughout the whole process. So it all works out for Penn State in the end, too. It's very talented running backs. It's not often you get to land two four-star quarterbacks. It's also not often you get to land two four-star running backs in the same cycle. Penn State does that here with Noah Kane and Devin Ford in the backfield. And then, of course, Michael Johnson Jr. and Taquan Roberson under center.
And yeah, it is going to be a class, and James Franklin talked about dominating the state, and he gets a Keaton Ellis, for example. He gets a Jaquan Brisker, for example, who's a JC guy, but he's out of Pittsburgh originally. But it's wide-ranging because there are certain years where the cycle dictates it. What kind of job did Penn State do in adjusting with the cycle and widening the footprint of recruiting?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you go back a couple of years, you know, two, maybe three, and you start looking at the makeup of prospects that Penn State's offering, and you start to see that, you know, they began this push to be a little bit more nationwide quite some time ago. Now, it's not every year you're going to be able to go to the West Coast and get a guy like Michael Johnson Jr. out of Oregon. It's not every year that you're going to go down to Florida, excuse me, Steve, and get John Dunmore and Noah Kane. But if you just start laying that foundation, you're going to start to get more and more of those guys over time. And, you know, it's not just Jawan Sider. Terry Smith has been proven very adept at recruiting, obviously, the Whipple in Pittsburgh, but he's played a pretty good sized role in their Texas recruiting as well. You know, you bring in Tyler Bowen and David Corley, and they have ties all over the country. It's a staff-wide effort. It really is. Phil Galliano, same thing. I mean, you need guys that have expertise and familiarity and a background recruiting different areas, because ultimately James Franklin, you know, usually more often than not, if not in every case, puts the bow on it. But you need guys to get that started. You need relationships all over the country. You need high school coaches, 7-on-7 coaches to say, hey, look, you know, tell their top prospects, these guys are worth talking to. These guys are the real deal. So it is a long, you know, you can track some of these commitments over the last couple of years from a nationwide perspective, probably back to the roots of many of these guys' coaching careers, because ultimately you have to get a start. You know, you're not just going to walk into an area more often than not, sight unseen, never been there before, and start landing recruits. Penn State's been, you know, slowly but surely getting more of a you know, non-regional footprint to go along with the strong work they do regionally recruiting. And because of that, you're starting to see, you know, a top 10 class last year, potentially a top 10 class this year, depending on how in February. And you can't just do that in region. You have to be able to branch out. They've been able to do that here as the success on the field continues.
And then Joey Porter Jr. from North Allegheny, of course, is another, you know, in-state guy for Penn State. But these things go in cycles. When you're looking at the recruiting part of it, how closely do you watch the cycle? Is Pennsylvania a little bit better next year? Is it really good in for 2021?
Yeah, you know, at this point in time, obviously the one guy you're going to hear about over and over and over and over again is Julian Fleming, the five-star from Southern Columbia. He obviously is, up there with the best of them, not just in Pennsylvania, but also nationally. But no, it's a fair year for Pennsylvania next year. It's a fair year the year after that. I mean, the one is, it's not every cycle where, you know, guys jump out immediately. So let's go back to the Ryan Bates and the Sharice Millers and some of these guys, Ryan Buchholz. There's a number of other ones we could get on the list. Miles Sanders. I mean, sometimes you have a handful of guys that jump off the page. Lamont Wade, for example. And then sometimes you only have a couple in each recruiting class, and sometimes those guys are going to want to go elsewhere. I mean, the Christoph kid out in Pittsburgh this year, which some have ranked as number one player in the state, you know, he wanted to go to Notre Dame. There was no talking him out of going to Notre Dame, and so that's where he ended up signing. So I think you just have to take care of as many of the top guys as you can. Obviously, when it comes to a guy like Fleming, you cannot let him leave the state. But for the most part, I think you're always going to find Penn State in a position in Pennsylvania to get a guy like maybe a five-star Julian Fleming, Micah Parsons, something like that. Sometimes they're going to lose the higher-rated guys, not all of them, but maybe some of them. DeAndre Swift to Georgia a couple years ago comes to mind. And then you're going to have guys like Joey Porter Jr. and Keaton Ellis, who quite frankly are probably underrated in the recruiting rankings and in the, you know, quote-unquote hype of signing day. But two very solid players that good team should make an impact at Penn State potentially sooner rather than later. They maybe follow the Jesse Lucado model of getting on the field as freshmen. So, yeah, I mean, I think looking forward, there's certainly something to work with. You know, was this a down year in Pennsylvania? You didn't have the high-end talent necessarily, but you had a handful of pretty good players underneath to fill in for that.
Right. And I know the other day James Franklin referred to an article. It was actually Mike White's article in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette talking about the trend in the Whippeal in western Pennsylvania going from 50 guys maybe 30 years ago down to 4 or 5 this year, just that are considered to be high Division I guys along the way. I have not asked yet about Brandon Smith, who many consider to be the consensus five-star guy in this class. What do you know about him? I think we lost Greg. So what we'll do is we'll try and reconnect with him. You know, sometimes when people are traveling, they're driving, you'll hit that dead spot with the cell phone.
I think we got him back.
Okay, Greg, great to get you back. I know we hit that little dead spot there with the cell. I said the one guy I haven't asked about is Brandon Smith, who's considered to be, by I think everybody, the consensus five-star in this class. I haven't asked about him yet. What do you know about him?
Yeah, sorry about that, Steve. It was the deadly Reidsville jet spot. The well-known Reidsville jet spot. No, Brandon Smith is a fascinating guy. Our Bob Flanders and Joe Hermit were down in Virginia today at his signing day ceremony, and we're able to spend a little bit of time with him yesterday. I mean, you look at him, he's 6'2", well over 200 pounds, can run as fast as, you know, some receivers in this class are clocking in the 40. I mean, he is a tremendous talent. He is the kind of guy that, if you get one of him or two of him every recruiting class, you know, you're always going to be near the top of the rankings, and you're probably going to be in the college football playoff and Big Ten title hunt. I mean, just a tremendous talent that plays a quality level of football down in Virginia. And, you know, when you're looking at a guy and you're looking at an opportunity to, you know, really make your mark on a recruiting cycle, he's the kind of guy you want. 247 Sports composite rankings have him top 25 nationally, if I'm not mistaken. So he's considered one of the best there is. He's very hard pressed to find any kind of negative review about him on and or off the field. I mean, just talent, great kid on and off the field. He's a guy that Penn State fans are going to get to know in a hurry. He will enroll early, which is a huge step in the right direction. I think some, you know, wonder if he could be like Micah Parsons and make an impact
you know, slowly but steadily in year one. I don't think that's out of the question. A lot of guys in this class will be like that because of the new redshirt rule. I mean, we saw guys from the highly regarded class of 2018 be able to do that, and I think that'll be the case again here, especially with, you know, 10, 11, whatever the final number ends up being, guys early enrolling here at the start of January.
Yeah, that was going to be the next part, was the fact that 10, 11 may enroll early. That's going to be the trend moving forward. I think we saw the benefits of Micah Parsons enrolling early because he was learning a new position, and the guy I saw in August was a completely different product than what I saw in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, you look at Dwight Gault. I lost you for a little bit there, but I think I got most of your question. You look at Dwight Gault's training staff, his group, the strength and conditioning coaches, and the format they use for these guys. I mean, there's a reason he's chomping at the bit to get these kids on campus as soon as possible. And I know that, you know, back at List for Life, especially this year, he obviously wonders sometimes if early enrollment is best because kids miss their, you know, final semester of high school. And that could be a challenge for a lot of guys. And a memory that they might, you know, one day want to look back on. But ultimately, you know, it's huge for in terms of their future, especially for guys that think they could be three-year players and then go to the NFL. You know, you can't pass that up. So in this year's class, I mean, there's a number of guys. Both quarterbacks are coming in early. Noah Kane, the running back we talked about, will be here early. Brandon Smith, and then we heard him going down the list. But, I mean, in reality, the more of those guys you get in here, not only are you able to rebound faster from guys that do leave after their junior season, and let's be honest, the one thing that you get, you know, as your recruiting ranking goes up, so does your potential number of losses come the junior declaration for those guys 3 years from now. So not only are you quicker able to replace and retool and you know, the magic word in college football is reload, not only are you able to do that, but you're also able to, you know, get those guys into your program, get them acclimated. So maybe you want to play them and you're able to do that, or maybe you need to play them and they're that much closer to being in the spot to be ready to do so.
Greg, appreciate your time very much. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the game tonight, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Santa Claus tonight. Magic Radio night. I've mentioned this a couple times. Is this the night that Chad's kids are coming in?
It turns out that Chad's kids were on Monday night's show, so they were on Monday.
I bet that was fun.
Yeah.
Well, the Magic Radio tonight.
Three more nights. Tonight, tomorrow, Friday. Boom. Then it's time for his trip around the world. So,
well, the youngsters will walk in tonight. The first thing they'll see when they walk in, they'll see their names up on the screen right over Sammy's desk. And then they'll follow the arrows back to where eventually the Magic Radio is. They'll go past the condemned site first. I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to mention that, was I?
A.K.A. Suits Off.
Mommy, what does digital media mean? Just keep moving, Bobby.
Yeah,
just
future, keep Bobby.
Just keep moving, Bobby. It'll get smaller in your rearview mirror.
Give me the talk. I'll give you the talk when you turn 13.
So they lead back into the area where the Magic Radio is. They have the microphone there, right? And they get to talk to the Magic Radio. And who's on the other end of the Magic Radio? Santa. You know, more than 80 years of doing this. This has been remarkable. It is a great moment for the kids. It's great radio. And I think just think it's one of the really neat things that we do.
Well, and Amblo just does a wonderful job just talking to the kids and asking them, what's your traditions? What'd you do at school today? You in the Christmas program? Got a song to sing for the big guy?
Yeah. And and don't worry about the large elf that's running around screaming, "I'm putting out fires." That's it. Don't let that phase any of you. I got put out some fires. That's just an average day of what we do here.
Yeah, so we'll have that from 6 to 7. We'll have Santa, and then we'll go to you and DJ for some hoops tonight.
Yeah, Duquesne tonight. Duquesne's 8-2 on the year.
Penn State, this is a big road trip for them, I think. You're trying to set a tone here before you get back into Big Ten play. So they've got Duquesne tonight at Alabama Friday. Then it's UMBC coming up at the Jordan Center on the 29th. Then it's at Michigan, where you kick it into high gear in the Big Ten. So they got a chance tonight. I guess the team's going to press. They're going to play. They're going to play 10 players. They're going to try and get in your grill. You can beat them off the press. You got to stay away. You have to stay away from turnovers against this team. They'll take a lot of threes. They'll take a lot of threes. I've watched enough tape of what they do, and that's the MO. It's going to be at 7 o'clock tonight, following Santa, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Then, as soon as the game's over, we're going right to the airport. In other words, I'm packed up now, and we're going right to the airport and. We're going to fly tonight to Alabama. We're going to fly right into Tuscaloosa. So we'll do tomorrow's show from Tuscaloosa. And Eli Gold, who is good as gold when it comes to football play-by-play, he is the voice of Alabama football. We've had Eli on the show before. We figured since I was in Tuscaloosa, we would go this route and get Eli on the show.
Yeah, I figured we'd have him on tomorrow at 4:06, I would think.
Perfect.
And then 4:35 tomorrow, we'll have the return of John McClain. John's going to check in from Houston, get his perspective on the Texans-Eagles game coming up on Sunday.
Texans are as hot as anybody. They're 10-4. I mean, Billy's done a great job with them. There's just no getting around it. He's done a great job with Deshaun Watson. Their defense is playing really well, and DeAndre Hopkins is just a really special, special receiver. I mean, so is Antonio Brown, but Hopkins is, he's got the extra with him is the length he has. Antonio Brown's a magician out there. But I'm looking forward to talking with John tomorrow. That'll be great. So, Penn State Duquesne tonight. What a great show today. I really enjoyed having Ryan Snyder, Nate Bauer, Greg Pickle on. Check it out on the podcast. This should be a very popular podcast today as Penn State signs 18 young men. Letters of intent signed by those 18 to be a part of the Penn State football program. Next up, first Wednesday in February, the late signing period. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.